listening to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 219 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and my good pal Sean Orford. How are you doing?
I'm doing very, very, very well.
Is that a vase or a water jug? Just thinking, I'm about to pour myself a glass.
It is a jug, but it's a sort of an art. Wonderful.
I'm going to pour a glass and see how efficiently it pours. There's a famous story in my family. My father-in-law, when he was purchasing a new teapot, like encouraging or forcing the staff at John Lewis to fill the teapots with water so he could pour in store to check whether they didn't drip. Because some teapots drip, don't they?
So what do you think of that as a jug?
That's actually quite nice. It's a very efficient little pour, no drips.
A designer jug, isn't it?
Mm. And you could use it as a vase, I think.
Yeah, you could.
But I'd digress a little bit there. This is the Self-Help Podcast, Live in the Present. .co.uk is our website. Check it out for all the show notes and links. All previous episodes available there too. We're on iTunes, we're on Stitcher, maybe a couple of others. TuneIn Radio, we're on there as well. I'm trying to get it to work with Alexa, you know, the Amazon Echo thing.
Yeah.
Because we've got one in our office, so you can say, "Hey, Alexa, play The Beatles." And she might not play that, actually, because I don't think The Beatles are on Amazon Music, but she'll do whatever you want. But you can ask for podcasts.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get it so that she can say, "Hey, Alexa, play the Self-Help Podcast."
So could you do that with Siri as well?
I don't know, actually. We should try that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. Siri's a bit behind in the stakes, the AI
right.
voice command stakes, but it'll get there.
Is that working?
It's fine. Oh, yeah, it was actually. It was fine. It had a little moment.
It was just thinking.
Our book is back in stock. We've got another batch printed, so go to the website and find yourself a copy. If you put your email address in one of the boxes on the site, we'll send you some free stuff, and you'll also get a discount code for said book. A little tip for you if you fancy it, but yeah, have a look. We're talking about communication today, how to be an effective communicator. Before that, though, how you been? What you been up to, Sean?
Well, I've got something that I need to say here.
Oh.
Because it's quite relevant to
our
topic.
We've come to the end.
Can't do it anymore.
Go on.
No, we went to Gusto's for a meal, and there were 8 girls sat around a table.
Yeah.
All of them had severe Botox and pouty lips. Filled.
I know the look. Yeah, yeah. Okay, I've seen it.
To the point where some of them looked like they were puppets out of Thunderbirds. Like nothing moved, and it was so. Yeah.
Strange, isn't it?
And we're here to talk about communication and the importance of verbal facial gestures in communication.
Mm.
And you can't do it if you lock your head with Botox and fillers. You can't express what's going on inside you.
It's a weird one, isn't it? Because, yeah, I mean, I'm the next generation on, so, you know, these 18, 19-year-old girls, you know, flipping their cast. But I can't imagine if I was 18, 19, 20, whether or that would be the kind of look that I would go for. And how many lads going out now look at these girls and think that's... Is that what men want now?
I was looking at the girls around the table there, and I actually thought that they looked like they're deformed. It was like a group of deformed people. It was really strange. It was very odd. And I'm thinking, wow.
How have we got here? I don't get it, really. We did a show recently about how to have difficult conversations, didn't we? Did I imagine that?
Mm-hmm.
So how would you, as a parent of one of these girls, or as a potential suitor, a boyfriend perhaps, would you say to a girl, listen, you're going, you've gone a bit far, love, or I don't know. What are you doing?
Cause I don't know. It's a real tough one, isn't it? Because it's such a drive, it's like the tattooing thing, because so many people are into doing it. And I don't know whether it's one of those things that in years to come people will regret, or whether it will become more embedded and it'll be no fun.
Yeah, I mean, Botox has been around for a while, but if there was a graph of how much it's been used, it must be spiking round about now.
Yeah.
So 10 years, 15 years down the line, who knows what the effects are going to be? Can't be, because it's serious. It's a nasty chemical, isn't it?
Oh, it's botulinum. It's a poison.
Isn't it?
Paralyzes your muscles.
One of the most lethal chemicals on planet Earth.
If it gets into the wrong bit of your body, then you stop breathing and your heart stops.
Yeah. I don't know. It's an interesting thing, and it does lead on to this this week's show, really, doesn't it? Mm. Should we just dive into it?
Yeah.
Because I just had this random idea. In fact, it was... I had this idea because I came in today and I was thinking, it's been a couple of days since anything in the Trump camp erupted. It's gone a bit quiet. I've got a bit addicted to kind of seeing Trump bits of news. And then, sure enough, right as I was about to say something to you, I got a BBC alert through on my phone, which I should switch off. I know, I shouldn't have that on. But it was the communications chief. I can't pronounce his name. Scaramucci, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
The Mooch, they call him.
Mm-hmm.
In the job for 10 days, and he's quit, or he's been turfed out already. So turmoil erupts again within the White House.
Wow.
And I saw this guy, this head of communications, on Newsnight a day after he was announced. Emily Maitlis, the Newsnight lady, was over in the States at the White House, and she interviewed him, and he was off his rocker. You know, he's proper New York, almost gangster-like. You know, he was trying to control the conversation with her, and he's 10 days down the line, he's out of a job, man. But let's talk about communication, shall we?
Yeah.
From a business sense, from a relationship sense, a family sense, and how we communicate with ourselves... It's quite important as well.
Yeah.
So where should we start, Sean?
I think we start with the word.
The word.
Because the word communication actually means common union.
Okay.
That's what communication is.
Yeah.
Or to be at one with, to be in the same place as. Whereas most of us look at communication as broadcasting. It's not a transmission. If I communicate with you, I'm not telling you something.
Yeah.
If I'm going to communicate with you, I'm going to impart something, but then I want the feedback. So that I know that we're in the same place. And it could be that the feedback changes my point of view and it bounces around a bit until we get a common union. We actually communicate with each other.
Yeah.
And most people see communication as, well, I told you.
Mm. Yeah. And you see this, I mean, there's various aspects we can look at, but from a kind of management business point of view,
very much.
Poor communicators.
Yeah. When you get managers who manage through policies... Or through fear, very often. You know, I've told you, you will do. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
They're not communicating. They're transmitting. And they don't know whether any of the messages that they were attempting to communicate have been received.
Yeah.
Because there's no feedback loop.
Because they're not open to it.
Yeah.
In the first place.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting, that whole idea about, you know, well, I told you that. And the thing is that you may tell me that, but I didn't actually hear that. I heard something else.
Yeah.
Yeah, and how do I know whether I have actually communicated unless I do something to check out?
I've linked to a blog post on Inc.com. 14 best practices for more effective communication. And it's a proper business site, but I think most of these... points will transfer nicely to all forms of communication, whether it's relationship stuff or have you. So should we go through some of these points and you can interject as and when you wish?
Yeah.
Because this is a communication between me and you, this podcast. That's what the success of this show is.
Because we live in a communion, don't we?
That's right. Although we're short on time. The top of the list was about being relatable and likeable, which from a business sense... You kind of have to draw the line somewhere in terms of whether you want to be that kind of boss who's the likable boss. It's the David Brent thing, isn't it, in The Office, Ricky Gervais, where he's trying too hard to be liked and be the funny guy, and the outcome is that he's got staff that just take the mickey out of him, he's not hitting targets, all that kind of thing.
But very often the thing that makes people like the most is to be genuine. Mm-hmm. If someone is genuine, then they are in a position where... people feel like they're the good person.
We talked politics early on, but that's one of the... Corbyn had a bit of success with that recently, didn't he?
Yeah.
He was actually seen as a genuine kind of guy. He wasn't too bothered about how his suit and his tie was done up and all that. And
but he was actively communicating. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You know, he did get his message across. And there was that feedback. There was a coming together mm-hmm. of people and ideas. So from that point, it was a successful campaign.
Yep.
Successful communication, yeah. Yeah. So, and I think that to be a nice person is really, really good.
How would you be a nice person and crack the whip as well, though?
You can do those together. I do know managers who people will say to me, and I suppose it's a respect issue, people will say to me, she's really tough as a manager, but she's really fair. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So the two things run together. That, you know, yeah, we've got to get a job done. We've got to, you know, so there's pressure on to get it done. But it's done with fairness, not cruelty.
Yeah.
And you do get a lot of cruelty and mismanagement, you know, which doesn't take individuals into account. It's kind of a bland.
Yeah, I'm sure, big time.
Yeah.
It also talks about kind of repetition in a business sense, in terms of how, I mean, I guess that's kind of having a simple message to convey.
Most businesses have a tagline of some sort.
Mm.
When we're talking about living the present, you know, phrases like thoughts become things, things you think about, bring about, that kind of stuff. When you repeat them, what your feet grows, what your staff dies, yeah. And as you repeat them, they lock into people's consciousness.
Yeah.
So it starts to become a part of their awareness. And how many times do you have to say things like that before they click in?
Yeah.
So I think that repetition can be good, but if you do the broken record thing, as in, no, I said, it doesn't work. You
know, well, again, sorry to dip back into politics all the time, but strong and stable, wasn't it? That was the thing in the election, which people just started taking the mick mercilessly out of Theresa May, because she was the strong and stable government thing, and people, it was repetitious, which is on the list.
But it didn't work,
and it wasn't right from the start.
Yeah.
And people just saw right through it.
Yeah, but maybe the communication in a situation like that is appropriate, in the sense that the message that has got over, people did get the right message, that it wasn't strong and stable. You know what I mean? So maybe there was a level of communication, but unintended communication.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
We were talking about Ricky Gervais before in the office, but humour to a point helps, doesn't it? Helps break the ice.
It's the to a point one. Mm. And one of the things that I've learned in Qatar, when you're working with people from different ethnicities, different religions, you have to be so careful about what to you and I down the pub with a pint would be humorous and funny. Yeah, you have to be really, really careful about who says what to whom.
Yeah.
And in terms of being able to communicate, be at one with people in that multicultural situation, that really tests your communication skills.
Yeah.
So easy to get something completely wrong.
Mm. How do you think I'd fare out in Qatar? I've got...
I think you'd learn quite quickly. Good spell in prison, never did anyone any harm.
Yeah. I was only joking. And then there's the age-old point about listening. So
I think that communication, at least 50% of communication, is in listening.
Yeah.
It's not in transmission. It's in hearing what other people are saying and hearing whether they are getting your message.
Yeah.
That's the feedback loop.
Mm.
And if you don't listen, you never know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I have this in work, obviously, because I will get a brief from a client on a certain design job or a website, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And obviously, yeah, I will be all ears at the start of the project. And I have to be... Sometimes I'll hear things that I don't think are great ideas from the client side. So I have to gently kind of coax them down other avenues. Sometimes they'll take it on board. Sometimes they'll just say, no, this is what we wanted. And I'll be, okay, fine, I tried.
Yeah.
But yeah, so listening is good. Well, obviously vitally important.
Yeah.
But once you've taken that in, you can then try and encourage.
There's something, and this isn't communication, but it's something, and I suppose where does communication end and manipulation begin is an interesting conundrum. If you're a car salesman, you're using your listening skills to find the cracks in someone's armour so you can whip in and get them so they feel like they really need this car now.
Yeah.
You know, they've got to complete the deal, they've got to finish. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So that idea about listening is, are we actively listening in a positive sense or actively listening in a manipulative sense?
Yeah.
That's the other thing too. And when you look at active listening, you're not just listening to the words, you're listening to the intonation. You're listening to the way someone's breath is working. You know, have you just shocked somebody and you can hear it in the breath? They may not say anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or if you're watching their face, the face will give away all kinds of things. And the one thing to be very aware of is that your face is giving away all kinds of things as well. And when you do a pretend smile, and we smile with our mouth but not with our eyes, which I guess is a Botox issue, but when you do that, then the smile doesn't look genuine.
Yeah.
Yeah, you look like you're trying to con somebody.
When you're doing a talk, a public talk in front of however many, 50, 100 people, and you sense the audience is kind of getting away from you a little bit, how do you bring them back?
Would depend on the audience again, but one of the tricks about being on the stage, and someone who is really good at it, although some people say it drives me mad, is Michael McIntyre. Because he keeps moving, he's using his body as a visual aid.
Yeah.
And one of the worst things you can ever do is to stand behind a podium and just talk. Yeah, you need to get something happening. I've gone into places where they've got fixed mics on a stand for you to stand at, and I say, no, I don't want the mic, and I'd rather talk loudly across a hallway, you know. And two things, like people listen.
Yeah.
If they're not being blasted out by a PA system.
Sure.
It means I need to move. When I'm doing a presentation, I'm moving. I can't stay still.
You're doing your little dance things.
Yeah, I do all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because to me, the body does become a visual aid, you know.
Yeah. I'm thinking of some of the more famous speeches from history, communications. I mean, you have the political side. We got Mr. A. Hitler. He was pretty good at holding people's attention, wasn't he?
Yep.
And then business side, I'm thinking Steve Jobs, when he did that famous iPhone presentation, launching the iPhone, people didn't really know what they were about to be hit with. They knew it was going to be a phone. A lot of people, the rumours were rife. But the way it was delivered was incredible, really. And then just in the last, well, it was last year, the first announcement, but Elon Musk just a couple of days ago properly launched the Model 3 Tesla. But a year ago, he did this presentation about the Model 3, which was a year away from being built, and he convinced 500,000 people to put down $1,000 for a car which hadn't been, you know, built yet at all. They'd put a few prototypes out to drum up business.
That's good. That's good.
But selling this thing that didn't exist yet, and 500,000 people paid $1,000 each around the world.
That's brilliant.
Like, convincing people to do that, it's nuts, isn't it?
We have a local guy here in Britain, don't we, who's he does the sticky walnut and the burnt truffle, wreck fish, and he does that. He does like crowdfunding to open each of the restaurants.
Yeah,
oh, right. And he gets amazing support.
Flippin' heck.
Yeah, and he's really, really good, clever. So he's opening in Manchester and Liverpool. And
amazing.
Yeah, food's really, really brilliant, though. Good. The I think that alongside that...
Yep.
Is if we have to look at the people that have managed to completely wreck things by their lack of communication. I'm thinking of people like Ratner. Do you remember the Ratner thing? He suddenly, he was talking, he was giving a big speech, big talk, lots of media, and someone asked him something about one of his products, and he virtually said, well, all our products are rubbish anyway, aren't they? Yeah. And sort of overnight halved the value of his empire.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's that kind of stuff. Having that mindful awareness of what am I saying, who's going to hear it, how are they going to hear it, because people didn't hear that as a joke, which is how it was intended.
It's okay, yeah, people, now let's look into that one.
People then felt insulted. You know.
Blimey.
You know, Ratner's Jewelers.
Okay, well, yeah, I looked it up. And yeah, what kind of... we've got empathy on the list here. So yeah, we've probably done, I'm sure we've done episodes about empathy in the past, but empathising with your audience or with the person in front of you that's trying to make their way up the ladder at work.
I think that empathy in any sense is having that sensitivity to understand at some level, maybe not completely, what's going on for another person. You know, you may be in your communication demanding something of somebody that they can't actually deliver,
yeah.
either because they're the wrong personality or their social life doesn't fit around what it is you're demanding of them,
mm-hmm.
you know, family life, whatever. And the magic, it's so wonderful when I see a manager who can communicate effectively with a team, and the team feels so good, you know, they get out of bed and they want to come to work. It's amazing. But it's so rare.
Yeah.
It's so rare. We have so many managers who cannot communicate.
Mm.
They can transmit, but they can't communicate. There's no two-way movement of energy and information. I tell you, you do it.
Yeah, and you don't have to be working for Tesla or for NASA or some huge, amazing corporation with an amazing mission statement to be energised, to get up in the morning, do you, and go out and work.
Mm.
Working in health service is a tough gig, and it's kind of portrayed as that, isn't it? That if you're going to be a nurse or a doctor or anyone working in a hospital, you're going to be in for a rough ride, and it's going to be hard, tiring work, and it is, but... Are we mis-selling healthcare? Because it's an important role, isn't it? And it's a beautiful
There can be a day when a bunch of nurses and doctors come to the end of a really tough day. Really, really tough. But at the end of it, they feel so good because of what they achieve.
Yeah.
And that's magical when you see that. Mm. Interesting when you see teams. Like if you get a theatre team that work really well together and they're doing maybe traumatic crisis surgery... But they're there with each other, and they know what each other are thinking. You know, the guy puts his hand out, and the tool straight in his hand as they're working together, and then they have that wonderful success, and that's just amazing to see.
Yeah,
you know, the fulfillment in those people. Wow,
yeah,
incredible.
Yeah, for sure, man. So yeah, we do kind of undervalue certain things, don't we? Or we missell certain roles within society, like doctors and nurses. I mean, sure. Because it's a beautiful thing to do, isn't it, to help people out?
Yeah, and the thing is that along the way there are traumas and tragedies and there's deaths, but the deaths themselves don't even have to be bad. There are good deaths too.
Mm.
And I do see that, which is quite a tough thing for people to own sometimes.
Yeah.
I think that the kind of things... to me, the onus is on the communicator. If I decide I need to go and communicate a message with somebody or to a team of people, whatever, it's up to me to get that message right. So that the issue would be, what's the appropriate medium? Is it need to be face-to-face? Is it an email?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a text?
Yeah.
You know, how am I going to do it? Do I handwrite it? Yeah, because all of these things have a different emotional impact.
Mm.
And one of the jokes about Dear John letters is like Dear John letters have now become Dear John texts.
Yeah, well, it's just following on, because we did chat recently about having difficult conversations,
yeah.
didn't we?
Yeah.
Which leads nicely into this episode, to be honest.
But when if you're going to do a communication, whatever it is, you know, how are you going to do it? That's really, really important. And then it's the issue of being able to make sure that you can understand the responses that the other person's giving to what you're saying.
Okay.
You know, how's it working out, you know? And to be able to say to somebody, how's that for you? Does that work for you?
Mm.
You know, feels like that felt a bit difficult for you. You know, that kind of stuff. Because questions are the powerful thing, questions.
Yeah.
If you ask someone a question, you find out what's going on. Not a closed question, do you feel good or bad? How do you feel?
Mm.
Yeah?
Good.
I thought you'd. Yeah. But do you know what I mean? And empathy is around that. Empathy is about having the sensitivity to ask the right question at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And to do that, you have to listen.
Yep.
You've got to be listening. And so which takes me back to the top of my list, which is the key skill of a communicator, is to be able to listen, not to transmit.
Yeah, and you've got on the list there, well, on your little notes there, about assertion versus or aggression, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, you can be assertive and you can say, you know, sorry, sunshine, but I really need to fix on this point. It's important to me, you know, that we do it this way in this particular area because of this, this,
yeah,
and this.
Yeah, because it will lead to this, and I've got this to worry about further down the line.
And that's being assertive, where aggressive is, we know we are going to do it this way, and then you get all the negativity coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to be positively assertive. And it might mean, if you're in a team of people, that if you're the manager and you've got to get a task done, and you say to your member of staff, this is what I need, can you do this for me? And it may be because if you can't do this for me, I need to get someone else who can. Doesn't mean say you've got the sack, mm-hmm. but I need to use someone else in the team to do this because I need this to be done. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this all flows nicely into relationship stuff as well, doesn't it? Because I have to come here. Well, I don't have to. That's a bit wrong. I come here, you know, every other Monday to record a couple of shows. So tonight I came here, and it meant that I wasn't going to be around at home to help with the bedtime routine with two energetic little boys. So I had to kind of structure my communication with my lovely wife just right, really. So I didn't just say, right, I'm off, see you later. Pew! I kind of built up to it over time, kind of.
Yeah.
Gave her a couple of hours notice. You know, she said, again, you go to Sean's again. But I said, yeah, but we're recording a few in a block here so that we can have a nice holiday. And if we can go away for a few weeks without having to worry about recording anymore.
And to talk to that bloody Sean again.
Yeah, so I like to think I was reasonably effective at communicating that message.
I think that in couples... situations, family situations, there are always going to be issues where there's something that is important to one person isn't important to the other.
Mm.
Or it's important to one person and the other person doesn't like it, doesn't want it.
Yeah.
No. And the magic of sorting those communications out is usually about listening.
Yeah.
Not about transmitting. You know, people need to feel heard. I need to feel heard. I need to feel that what I'm saying has some value. I don't want someone just to poo-poo it.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, and there will come a point when, I mean, you might say the wrong thing, or you think you can't. You never pass that point of kind of return, are you? I guess because I've got my list here about conflict resolution. So if the proverbial hits the fan at some point, what's the best way to go about? It's you can undo that, can't you?
Well, most times, yeah. But I mean, it's coming along and it's apologising.
Yeah,
it's. Acknowledging that you were wrong, or it's about explaining why you had to do what you did. It's like explanations.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you do things that someone else doesn't like, but it doesn't mean so that you shouldn't have done it.
Mm.
So, like an apology, you may be apologising for how you did it, or you may be apologising for their response to what had to happen, but it had to happen.
Yeah.
You know. But back to empathy again, it's feeling the other person,
and
listening.
Do you ever fill out those feedback forms? You know, when you've been on like an online live chat technical support type thing, and they, at the end they send you a little survey. How did I do? How did our support staff do? I think they're always quite interesting to fill those out. Especially if I've had a good experience working with someone online where I've had to, you know, have something, an issue resolved. I'm always quite... You know, I like to give some good feedback to say, yeah, this person was really good at da-da-da-da-da, or not. That kind of thing, because people need feedback, don't they?
Mm.
Encouragement is the word, I guess.
I told you about when I was in PC World a while ago, got a computer.
Go on.
There was a lad, it's got to be about 10 years ago.
Ah, yeah.
And he was just such an amazing guy. He was only young, like 19, something like that.
It's probably me, yeah. It's probably the first time we met.
Actually Afro-Caribbean.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I don't think it was. I didn't get that one wrong.
Go on.
But I asked to see the manager, and the manager came out and immediately assumed I had a complaint.
Ah.
And said, don't worry, whatever's happened, don't worry, I'll sort it out, you know, like, I'll get him, don't worry. And I said, whoa. I said, I want to tell you that this guy here is amazing and you need to look after him because he's going to be one of your top guys in the future.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we had that, and he was like, oh. You know, and he obviously found that a harder conversation than if I was being negative.
Yeah.
You know, funny.
Mm. And those little experiences, they stay with you, don't they?
Yeah. But it's so important that when you have got someone like that who's good, that you not only encourage them, but maybe get the other people around them to see that they're good as well.
Yeah.
So they appreciate them. Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Have you got a resource then?
Well, I'm going back to my book, Knickers, because Knickers...
Full title.
Yeah. What Colour Is Your Knicker Elastic? Is about what motivates people, what makes them feel secure. How do they connect?
Yeah.
And when you can understand the colours that someone communicates in, as it were, in the terms of the book, your communication is so much more effective.
Right.
That whole kind of looking at the person from a colour point of view, the people that grab it most eagerly and the people that use it most effectively are salespeople. Because when you understand how other people function, that's how they get their sales spiel right to the person.
Right, okay.
Yeah, and they learn to do an instant analysis of someone, get it right, get the sale.
In, out, bosh. Okay, yeah. Cool. I'm always talking about TED Talks for my resource, and the chap who is behind the TED Institution, Chris Anderson, wrote a book last year called The Official TED Guide to Public Speaking.
All right.
So it's a really snappy book, yeah, about how to construct, well, the perfect TED talk, but also how you can bring that on and how you can.
Yeah.
It's all areas of life, as we've just discussed, where these things would can.
And that TED thing has to be something which actually works, because TED works.
Yeah. Yeah, there is a formula for the perfect TED talk. I mean, so a fascinating book.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Yeah.
Happy?
Yeah, I'm happy. I'm always happy, but today I'm happier than happy.
And you're off to Qatar again soon, aren't you?
Yeah, I'll be off to Qatar in a couple of days' time.
Okay, enjoy your flight. And do they put different movies on every time, or the same stock?
Yeah, there are a standard lot, and then there's the new.
Oh, so you're always straight looking for the new ones.
The ones that are premieres as well.
Yeah. There's one, I just saw a movie recently actually called Hidden Figures.
Yeah.
Which, whether that's on there yet or not, I'm not sure, but it's about some African-American ladies in the 50s, 60s.
I watched it on the movie.
Working at NASA?
Yeah.
Cool movie.
Isn't it? That's a brilliant movie. Yeah. That's a must-watch movie, though.
Hidden Figures, check it out. That's a little
free
resource for you. Well, you have to pay for it.
Yeah. brilliant.
That was an amazing movie, wasn't it?
Yeah, good.
Right. Everybody, liveinthepresent.co.uk for the show notes and links and some freebies as well. If you stick the email, your email address in the box, meditation files, that kind of thing. If there's anything you would like us to talk about in an upcoming episode, drop us an email via the contact page or Twitter, Facebook as well, Instagram, and we will see you, or listen, you will hear us next week.
You will indeed.
Right, take care, Sean.
See ya. Bye.
Bye.